إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, the famous hadith of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, where he is reported to have said, إن الأصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم is reported to have said that the most truthful speech is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which refers to the kalam of Allah, the kitabullah, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, which refers to his ahadith and his sunnah. And then he said the threat and the evil of the worst of the evils is the innovation in the matters of religion, introducing something new into the matter of religion, something that was not there. And he said all such innovation is misguidance, and all such misguidance will be in the hellfire. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from the fire. The reason I thought I would use this as a reminder today is because these questions keep on getting asked, and for the last few days people have been asking me questions with regard to various practices that they do, or they are accustomed to doing, or practices that have been recommended to them by this person or that person to do. And so they asked the question, and they said, should we do this, can we do this? Now, that's why I thought best thing to say, I'm not making a fatwa. The best mufti is the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so the best thing to do is to go back to the basics and see what we have been ordered to do. And if you look at this hadith, the matter is very, very simple. Anytime anyone tells you to do something, the thing to do is to look for it in the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If this person says, read this, do that, say something like this in this way, that way, whatever it is. So the first thing to do is look for it in the kitab of Allah and say, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us to do this? And I'll give you an example to illustrate also. And then if you find it in the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, do it. If you don't find it there, look for it in the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, obviously, if there is something which is not in the kitab of Allah, you will never find it in the sunnah either. But at the same time, you would have something in the kitab of Allah, and the sunnah explains it. So you might not have it, you would have the detail in the kitab of Allah, but you would have the explanation in the sunnah. So you can look for it in the sunnah. And then after that, if you find that you are neither finding it in the kitab of Allah or the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the simplest thing to understand is, in the interest of safety, in the interest of your own safety as a Muslim, do not do that thing. No matter who recommended it, no matter who asked you to do it. The reason I'm saying that is because the only guarantee with regard to hidayah, the only guarantee with regard to the right guidance, is with respect to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everyone and every person and everything else is subject to the wasawis of shaitan, is subject to misguidance of shaitan. The only person who is protected from the wasawis of shaitan, who is protected from the misguidance of shaitan, is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now this we know, this is our aqidah, this is our belief, this is what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about himself. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said there's a shaitan with everyone. They asked him, Ya Rasulullah, even with you? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, but he is subjected to me. So he has no power over me. Now this barakah has been given only to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not to anybody else. Now when we say this, there's no need to get upset and so on and so forth. We are not trying to insult anybody. But the fact of the matter remains that what is been told by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the truth and nothing but the truth. Everything else is open to interpretation, everything else is open to being wrong.
So if, for example, I tell you, for example, I said I'll give you an example. Now take the issue of zikr, for example. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the issue of zikr in the Quran many times. Allah said, Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Allah said about the people of intelligence, الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned dhikr. He said it's the cure for in dhikr of Allah is peace of mind. He said do dhikr of Allah standing, sitting and lying down. People of intelligence are those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala standing, sitting and lying down. Inshallah, tonight's lecture we will look at that in detail. So I don't want to preempt that, but I'm saying that Allah has told us to make zikr, and He told us the fadail of zikr. The major fazilat of zikr being that it frees us from all forms of anxiety and all forms of stress. Now, so for example, if I come to you or somebody comes to you, and I don't want to use my example because I would never tell you something like that, but I'm saying if somebody comes and tells you that when you do this zikr, do it on a Wednesday evening, do it after Maghrib, put on a green light, burn some incense, and when you are doing the zikr, all of you stand in a circle, don't sit down, stand in a circle and do this zikr loudly, right? In a loud voice. Now, supposing somebody tells you all this. Now, question is, should you do it, should you not do it? Because now, these people are not telling you go to the disco on Wednesday night. They're telling you do zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the argument that people will always give you. That, look, we are telling you to do something good. We are not telling you to do something which is haram. So that argument seems to be reasonable, seems to be logical, seems to be reasonable. But is it reasonable? Is it really logical? Should you do it? And if you do it, is there good in it? Is there harm in it? How do you find out? And that is the point I'm making. I'm saying the way to find out, the most simple, the most reliable way to find out is to see, did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do something like that? Because our deen came to us not from me, not from you, not from my grandfather, not from your grandfather, not from this one, that one. It came to us from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, whatever came from the Prophet is deen, whatever comes from anybody else may be deen, may not be deen. And I'm saying maybe only because what comes from other people, if it is in line with, if it is in consonance with what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, then of course we definitely accept it and we are happy with it. But if it is not in consonance with what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, then definitely we reject it. And because we reject it, because he told us to reject it. So that's why we must be very, very clear. So with respect to any of these things, ask yourself, is this from the Sunnah? If it is from the Sunnah, do it. If it is not from the Sunnah, leave it. Because in that lies your safety. And the reason I use the hadith is because the words of the hadith are extremely clear. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying in no uncertain terms, he's saying in very strong terms that the one who innovates will be in the hellfire. And he said, Kullu, every innovation, Kullu bidatin dalala. There is no such thing as a good innovation. All innovation is misguidance. All misguidance is in the hellfire. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from all forms of misguidance. And I tell you once again, go and look at all the practices that you are doing in your homes, that you have been doing. Maybe it is a practice that has come down to you from generation, from your own elders, and therefore you revere that practice because your elders used to do it. Please understand, we don't follow the religion of our elders. The Kufar of Makkah followed the religion of their elders. We follow the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore, it is very important for us never to compromise that for any reason. We ask Allah to guide us and never to allow us to be misguided and to save us from the wasabis of shaitan, especially when they come to us in the guise of good deeds. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.